Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Up, sodomites, and welcome to the Sinister Sissies podcast, your guide to true crime, horror, and everything man on man and macabre. I'm Jared, your master of depravity, staring at the beautiful face of my filthy little slave, Sam Hamilton. Hi, Sam.
Hello, master.
And we have a special guest today. Returning to the podcast is Luke from The Gays Are Revolting. Welcome back, Luke.
Thank you for having me. When I heard we were going to talk about some dicks and some horror and stuff, I said, sign me
up,
you know. Isolation's been lonely.
this is the most serious and well-researched podcast we've ever done. It involved arduous hard work on our part.
I've never seen so many slow-motion cum shots in my life.
That was actually the only note I took for this episode was...
Slow-motion cum shots.
At least for one of the pictures we're going to discuss is they had a lot of... A real fondness for a slow-motion cum shot.
It's classic.
I put it out to your listeners if that's an appealing thing or not, because for me, I kind of like... I like the shots.
You want to poof! Like, dodging the bullet type thing.
Like a super soaker... Yeah.
For our listeners, we watched a bunch of pornos. That's what we're talking about today. We specifically looked at porn parodies of horror films. We picked three films that we're going to go through today. We have Gayracula, Bonesaw, and The Hole. Now, before we start, it's just so good. Before we start, I kind of want to, have you encountered much of the porn parody genre before? Because I'm kind of over porn at this point. I'm like, particularly in lockdown, I feel like I've done all the porn. Like, I've seen it all.
Yeah. I feel like the studios can't keep up with my appetite in quarantine.
So I thought the plot-driven stuff would kind of interest me a bit more, but... I don't know. I don't know if it really adds much to the overall quality.
For me, I've always seen my own sex life as a bit of a light parody. So this, like being invited for this in particular felt fitting.
Do you usually come in slow motion? Is that why?
There's always like some weird third person, like badly acting in the room. You know, the like in front of my salad sort of thing. That legitimately has happened to me.
Yeah.
But, porn, I think, as gay men, porn is probably an integral part of all of our daily lives.
It is getting me through lockdown.
And getting a lot of us through lockdown. So, watching these particular pictures was quite fun because it's a perfect cross-section of things I liked, which is parodies.
parodies and hot men.
Some dicks.
Yeah.
I think B grade is a little bit generous. Yeah, for the production values on display here.
Although they vary. They do vary.
Generous.
All right. Well, let's start with the first one, which is the oldest porn parody that we're going to look at, which was Gay Dracula from 1983 by Roger Earle. I wanted to, you know, give some credit to the filmmakers involved in this. The premise of Gay Dracula is Count Gaylord stalks the bars in LA for the hunkiest victims, as well as his enemy, the Marquis de Suede. Now, normally when we do films, I do like spoiler warning, but I don't know. The reason we're doing three films is because none of these films have much of a plot per se, but we can go through what plot there is, and you'll just have to be spoiled, unfortunately. So, yeah. Gay Dracula opens with a coffin being taken to a castle. We see some men get around to this coffin. This is like the high production part of Gay Dracula, where they've got like castles and shit happening. Some men surround the coffin, and our protagonist, Gaylord Young, pops out, played by Tim Kramer.
Rest in peace. I was almost certain he'd be dead when I looked him up. And yeah,
there's unfortunately a lot of rest in pieces as we go along. This might be a bit of a downer gay porn parody episode.
I mean, really a solemn tribute.
You see the evolution though. You know, we have exclusively bareback sex in our first film, and then as time goes on, condoms become more and more prevalent.
Yeah, 1983, a lot of these guys got...
I will also say the opening, because Jared sent sort of a Google...
You mean the DVDs that we all bought to watch this film legally.
Oh yeah, okay, sorry. And, you know, we ordered these DVDs. Sorry, I misspoke for some bizarre... I had a stroke. So these DVDs arrived, and I was actually really surprised starting Gay Dracula with how solemn and sort of earnest this opening sequence
is. I think it tries to stay that kind of earnest way for most of it. Unlike the other ones where they know what they're doing, I think Gay Dracula, they actually tried. Yeah. So it opens and we see our star, Gaylord Young. We then see him open his cape with his naked body and then turn into a bat, which is like a funny little plastic bat thing. And we get our flashback to seeing Gaylord when he was young and had to visit the Marquis de Suede. And this is when we have our first scene where the Marquis de Suede hypnotizes Gaylord Young. He's like,
"I insist that you stay. You need to be refreshed. You have done me a great service. Now I must service you."
Whilst they're going at it, the Marquis bites Gaylord, and then we find out the next day that Gaylord has been turned into a vampire because he can't see himself in the mirror. But then the Marquis appears, this is like apparition in the mirror, and Gaylord is unhappy about this.
He smashes it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got emotional issues.
Spoiler alert, he broke a mirror.
And that's the character motivation in this piece.
Revenge.
Revenge.
It is. It's a revenge film.
A classic trope, the one that fuels a lot of, you know, I don't know if steamy is the right word, but a lot of sex.
Steamy is the right word. So we then flash forward to 200 years later to the present, where the Marquis is in LA. His manservant. I've written here, I'm looking at my notes, and it says manservant is hot. Was the manservant hot?
I thought so.
I think the one assisting the manservant was hot.
I would give manservant a B and the assistant a B plus.
I found a lot of the white guys really hard to discern from one another in this picture.
I don't see race. I just see six packs. So I was just judging by how well defined people's muscles were. So there was a lot of that in this movie.
So the manservant and his assistant come in, and the assistant is killed. Oh, sorry. Another fucking scene, kind of brushing past that. And Gaylord needs to feed, so I like that he bites the servant's ass.
Yes, that's probably my favorite kill scene in any horror film I've seen this year. I also love the fact that there was no blood.
It did seem a weird disparity that someone had just blown a load on someone's back. You know, like, that was okay to show, but then him sort of feasting or taking a bite out of someone's peach.
It may have been, like, I don't know what the laws are in America. I'm assuming they're a bit more, like, loose. But in Australia, if you show any violence along with pornography, it's bumped up to a refuse classification. Hence why that porn parody of Pirates got banned in Australia, and Bruce LaBruce's LA Zombie got banned as well because they were in zombie makeup and therefore it was necrophilia.
So who would have imagined this would be the time of day that I learnt my thing for the day?
Yeah, you're learning all about how to make pornography in Australia.
So sex and violence don't make the perfect couple, but individually they're fine.
Yes.
Apparently. In the eyes of, you know,
in separate films.
The pornography rating board, yes.
I will also like to say that I know we're kind of skipping past the sex in these pictures.
Well, we don't have to. We can give, yeah.
But the thing, I found a lot of the sex really, like, quite sensual in this fagula one.
80s.
Like, well, and he's like, had 200 years to brush up on his technique, you know.
Well, that...
No, yeah. But older porn is a lot less, like, mechanical as, like, modern porn. Like, it's very...
And real life, well, at least my real life, you know, the even though this is, you know, a horror parody or a horror genre porn film, I was like, oh, these men are actually caressing one another. And I don't remember the last time I've seen that in a porn. Usually it's like spitting in each other's faces and saying, shut up, you dirty bitch, you know.
Honestly, right now, the hottest thing for me right now would be a hug.
Yeah, that was it. Maybe it's the isolation, but I think it's really just my nice.
Like, I don't need to fuck anyone. I just want the caress. In terms of the plot, the next thing is that we have our, like, big confrontation between Gaylord and the Marquis at this. I did enjoy that there was this, like, go-go dancing thing.
I did love that.
That happened. Yeah. But the Marquis and Gaylord meet each other and it's just like, hey, like, there's no anger.
Sorry, I almost spat out my wine. Jared's not exaggerating. It literally is like they walk into the room and greet each other quite casually.
Gaylord, I knew my powers would bring us back together. We must celebrate our reunion tonight. Take a chair. Enjoy the show.
A 200-year feud and they're like, oh, hi.
But not even like an acknowledgement of the time.
Look, I guess when you're a vampire, 200 years is like 200 minutes.
It's like nothing.
But I think everything in this film, we do have a couple of story beats, including some intense romantic stuff. And it's always delivered in this exact same tone.
That sounds like your normal voice.
Hey. Well, anyway, I guess I should have been in an 80s porno then. But it doesn't even have the finesse of like a grade 5 school play.
They weren't hired for their acting skills. And that is a theme throughout these three films.
Yes, but, you know, the other skills are very much appreciated, at least in this film.
So he tries to trick the Marquis. I've written down that he said, I got him into my lair by enticing him with some sport fucking.
Sport fucking? Yeah.
I don't know what that means. He ends up tying him up and goes to nail a wood through his heart. But then the Marquis says that there is a cure for his vampirism.
Mm.
It requires a ceremony where he finds the man he loves.
Mm.
Now, he then explained this to me. He summons a random dude.
No, it's a waiter that he met at a restaurant. Haven't you ever fallen in love with some hot boy that served you
food?
It was
a waiter. It was some blonde waiter.
But the waiter's waiter's hot. He was hot.
Mm.
The waiter instantly appears and then they start like making out.
I actually like the soundtrack in this. Love. I like the soundtrack in this scene though. It made me buy that relationship, you know. This made great use of like either royalty free or just very familiar synths that were used to great effect, you know?
And it was a great tonal shift.
Oh, great. And the way that he jackhammers him, this is the most primal sex we get in the film. So that really communicated that sense of love to me.
It's a journey. You know, gay killer... Oh, gay racket. My fucking god. Gay Dracula is a real...
It's a terrible name. Draculas.
Draculas, Fagula, you know, is a real roller coaster journey, because you're sitting there at the beginning going, this is quite earnest. This is like the opening of The Exorcist in some... You know, it's like ooky spooky.
Yeah.
And then it's a little bit camp when they go to this go-go bar and there's a weird dance number where a guy has like some... Like a chain of pearls around his dick, and he's...
Yeah, I don't...
I know camp's not your favorite thing, but it was like a very campy moment. And then it... and in between all the fucking, of course, but then this romantic subplot sort of... Well, main plot, actually, sort of appears.
The main character.
And it's treated also very earnestly of like, these two men are in love. With that, it's like, this is a full journey in an hour and a bit of a porno. So
before the journey continues, though, we have to do a side tangent to the blood bank.
Oh, and that weird scene. Yes. That was true.
Blood bank was a great example of a recurring theme in all these films. They really try and throw in as many incidental sex scenes as humanly possible. I mean, yeah. I think at the blood bank, people start having sex that aren't even in the main cast. That's right. The Marquis starts having sex with like a doctor or something.
Well, no, he runs in, he grabs some blood and goes to another room, and then a nurse comes in, a male nurse, and then is like, the Marquis like, want to fuck, and the nurse is like, all right.
Yeah. Just, but yeah, that was a romantic little... It's there's like a fireplace and stuff, isn't there, for these guys? It's real nice. Seems real sweet.
Well, it's going to get a lot less nice, because then we then get to the ceremony itself, which is like an orgy. Thing that happens.
Features started cock ring as well. So I was thinking of you during this scene. Jared did a post the other day on Instagram saying that he spent all his money during lockdown on fetish wear from Eagle Leather. So I'm kind of curious.
I've got like, I can give you a bit of a
yeah. Those guys aren't cheap. That's.
I've got to a point where I've bought so much fetish and sex toy stuff that I literally have. I don't have a drawer. I have like a huge box. Of implements, so that like when I finally hook up, it's gonna be like, bring it all out.
Like when you get the Christmas tree down, when you get the Christmas tree down from the attic in December, well,
it'll be fucking dusty, and I have to dust off all the butt plugs. So we have this wonderful little orgy. I say that the music gets really intense. I think this is our first set of slow motion cum shots is part of this scene. I have coming crescendo in my notes for this scene because I think that there's various cum shots in either way. It's all very dramatic.
As any ritual should be.
Yes, I vote to replace all blood with cum for future satanic rituals.
I don't know what this... My notes are terrible for this. I've got some tender, nice touching.
I think it's probably like what we were saying before. Like, these men generally sort of like hug and sort of like lay with each other a little bit.
It's nice.
You know, and it feels nice. And that's probably saying more about us we're right sad. Now.
We are sad, but it also means we've all been adhering to the current conditions. It's been a while since we've had a man stroke us and tell us we're beautiful.
The Marquis goes for a bite of the main character's new lover, and then in reply, the Marquis stakes him. The ritual was bullshit. It was just an excuse for an orgy, and that causes like a whole thing.
Yeah, it did cause a whole thing.
The young lover wants to be a vampire, but the main character, Gaylord, is like, no, you don't want to live like this. And then the wonderful ending of this film is that the sun comes up and he becomes human after all, because love conquers all.
I'm saved. So what are you going to do now? I think I'll work on my tan line.
It was quite a strangely sweet ending for a film.
My favorite takeaway from this film was in the end credits as well, where a portion of the profits were donated to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center in LA. So, you know, this was, you know, fucking for a good cause. Like, you know, a lot of people felt good watching, and a lot of people felt good in the community.
It was looking at the academic commentary to do with Gay Dracula, which you wouldn't think exists.
I assume there's plenty out there on this this particular film.
There's like all of it was is talking about like this is a really big deal. It was like this is challenging the heteronormativity of the horror genre by having a vampire, you know, be involved in homoerotic acts. And I also found,
I feel like they watched the wrong movie.
And I also found one that like was like often dismissed as a porn film.
No, this was this was
I think I counted 9 minutes of story and 81 minutes of fucking. So.
But can I say what a wild 9 minutes of story that is right there. If
it
someone could
it well.
Cut that and upload that onto YouTube, I'd highly recommend checking it out, because it's a journey. I enjoy it. I give this one like. We're not like reviewing these films.
Oh no! Let's do this. Let's give it star. No, let's not do stars. Let's do.
I would give it 4 frogs because I give everything frogs. But
okay, 4 frogs out of 5 or 4 frogs out of 10?
4 out of 4 frogs. It doesn't make any sense. My rating. No. I would give this 4 cups of cum out of 6.
All right.
I enjoyed some of it.
I'm giving it 3 prolapsed anuses out of 5.
That's a decent score.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 3.5 fangs in butt cheek out of 5. Yeah. Appreciated it, some of the diversity and the sensualness of the sex scenes.
Mm.
Where am I? Don't worry, you're with me. I won't hurt you. Relax. That's it. Relax. I had to make him submit to me. I had to make him fall in love with me. My heart was pounding in my chest. My desire for the young man was a strange feeling. It wasn't like my need to taste blood. It was even more powerful.
Our next film is Bonesaw, which is from 2006 and is clearly a parody of the Saw franchise. Mm. And it's directed by Jet Black. The premise is a man wakes up in an abandoned warehouse and is forced to navigate a series of deadly traps set by a sadistic serial killer known as Bonesaw.
This one really reflects the time period it was made in, because it's a lot quicker to the point, you know. In the noughties, we don't wait around for things. We need the plot, like, within a minute. We've basically...
Yeah. Also, the porn industry is starting to lose money because the internet exists. So...
Yeah, the production values, I felt like this got to the fucking a lot quicker. It felt a lot less, just from the start, it felt a lot less like a film. Gay Dracula, legitimately, I feel like I could send a link to Gay Dracula to JB, my best mate, who loves vampire stuff. And he could probably sit through at least a good 15 minutes of Gay Dracula before he realized it was a porn. But Bonesaw is it's right into it.
It's
girls.
Straight to the point. It is straight to the point.
This guy wakes up in his like CK in his Calvin Klein. You're like, this guy's gay.
We have,
but to show the lack of budget, they looked kind of old. Oh. That looks like they've been worn by the director.
They
like
woke up
times.
In his own the porn staff was like, off bring white. Your the production
bring,
like,
bring
your
People
own underwear your to the porn shoot.
So the character who wakes up is Lee, played by Bobby Williams. It's another RIP. He died in a car accident in 2013.
Oh.
Rest in
and
peace.
You just mocked him, Luke.
I didn't make fun of his dirty underwears or nothing. That was sad.
Look, I'm just going to hope it wasn't his personal underwear and that was like forced on him by production.
Hopefully nothing was forced on him in a porn production.
well, yes. Okay. Sorry. Wrong choice of words.
Lee wakes up and unlike the surround sound of an actual Saw franchise, it's this tiny little stereo box. Explains that he's got a something strapped to his ankle that if he tries to take off, he'll get zapped. and there's a series of trials that need to be done.
Welcome, Lee, to my little funhouse. Today is going to be a most challenging day for you. I hope you're up to it. You've always made the wrong decisions in your life, Lee. Today, I'm giving you the chance to make up for that.
Do you know me?
We have many things in common. Sex and games, for instance. In your honor, I've combined the two. There is only one way to freedom. I alone can grant your escape.
He instantly walks out to a guy getting rimmed on, like, is it like a tractor? No,
a forklift. I think it was a forklift.
Everyone is a lot older in this film, I found. It's kind of like a...
Yeah, the demographic for this felt... Well, I feel like the lead character was...
20s.
Yeah, I hate using the word twinkie, but it seemed like they'd put a sort of twinkie lead in there. But the demographic, I think, for the sex was definitely angled more towards...
The daddy marker.
Yeah, they were kind of hunks. They were like flirting with daddydom. They were like, yeah, 30, 34, yeah. You know?
So the forklift daddies fuck, and it's fairly, you know, through the motions type stuff. We're in the 2000s. Not a lot of tenderness. It's a lot of like, yeah.
This is more the type of porn that you know. I saw this as like, oh, okay, this. I recognize this type of porn. You're going to rim for a bit, you're going to spit for a bit, and you know.
I mean, there's some slight plot in there, you know. He gets told that they're going to fuck, and after they come, something bad is going
to happen.
Yes,
he needs to wait until after they come. Crucial plot point.
Something terrible. So we get like a little prologue, and then
I do want to... For people listening, it may sound like we're sort of mad-libbing the plot.
I'm trying to keep it a coherent enough plot. I
could imagine someone listening being like, it actually just sounds like these guys are mad-libbing.
Yeah,
but
apologies, but it's just the honestly, way these films are made.
Yeah, look these films up. Order them on DVD as we did legitimately to view them. Jared and Sam are not like missing any story beats whatsoever.
I've got to say, I was a bit surprised when Jared's like, let's do porn parodies. And I, in my mind, I'm like, oh, they'll probably be like 20-minute segments. And then there were three full length.
They're films.
So, you know, it actually was a bit of intense study to
think,
do.
I think the clip thing that we have now didn't come into play until... Because tube sites weren't a thing in 2006.
Well, they were just like emerging. Baby tube.
Oh, that sounds like a...
Don't go to baby tube.
Okay, sorry. Don't go there. That's not what I meant. I just expressed my love for people over the age of 30.
Nobody Google that.
Don't do that.
As far as we're aware, no site such as baby tube exists. And we've never visited baby tube. And
2007 was the first time I went on X-Tube.
This recording's now evidence. Back to the plot. after the forklift drivers come, we get our first test.
I'm sorry to keep laughing. It's just that the idea ridiculous. Of this test just tickles me so much.
One of the boyfriends is the guy on the intercom's ex named Danny.
Yes.
And okay, I may get this wrong, but one can only lie and the other can only tell the truth, right?
Yes. Okay. No, wait. One of them is like a pathological liar, but one of them is lying about who is Danny's ex-boyfriend.
It's that classic riddle.
Not Danny Jigsaw.
Sorry. Yeah, it's, not Jigsaw. It's Bonesaw.
I don't know. It's like in every... You guys ever used to play those like point and click adventure games on the computer?
No, you know, I wasn't a loser.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Anyway, every single one of those included this puzzle where it's like, what? Pick out the liar. One of these always tells the truth. One of them always lies, and one of them is, you know, holds the key. It just tickled me so much because I was like, what serial killer set this up?
So the question he ends up asking them is, if I ask your partner if he was his boyfriend, what would you say?
Yeah, and he really freaks out, I remember. He really sort of has a moment of like, what the fuck is going on? Where I would have just answered the question, really, or I don't know.
Well, maybe he knew what was coming, because after this, he passes the test. And then as Lee goes on to the next trial, the guy who fucked up the answer is killed.
Mm.
And the other guy is just tased and not killed, maybe because he was his ex.
Well, they said they need him for later.
Did they use him later?
I don't recall, the guys kind of all morph into one, aside from Detective Brown, lol.
Plot hole.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to Detective Brown later, I'm sure of it.
So, we then cut to... Is that his name? Is he named Detective Brown?
I wrote down Detective Brown, and I'm 98% sure that is yes what he's called.
Oh dear!
It was 2006, Jared. You're allowed to still play with these kind of things.
Detective Brown, who happens to be African American,
and is probably also the only genuinely hot person, especially with shirt.
He was hot.
He was the hottest person in this picture.
I agree.
And that wasn't just all of us trying to be like... Apologies for the racism.
Well, look, the caliber of hotness in this film just isn't the same as the others. Like, Detective Brown was a diamond in the rough, although the lead was bangable.
Yeah, he was all right.
I would definitely open my legs.
I would say this was one of the weird, the very few porn experiences I had where I'd only cracked a boner once, and it was in the detective sex scene. I didn't crack a boner any other time throughout Bonesaw, which is weird because even in Saw itself, I was cracking boners all the time. So,
I love a guy in some mesh wire that he's trapped in.
I love a little puppet Harlequin thingy on a tricycle. Yeah. Like
That's the shit that gets uploaded to BabyTube. Let's not do that.
Let's.
Detective Brown, apologies, he gets a call from Pat the Psychic, or someone saying that they're Pat the Psychic, and is saying that there's somebody trapped in a warehouse and they need to find help. And Detective Brown kind of dismisses this at that point. We then cut to Bonesaw's next game for Lee, and it involves a caged man. Okay, so there's a guy in a cage, and then there's a series of brain teasers, and Lee only solves one of the brain teasers, which opens the cage at this naked cage man's crutch area.
Yeah.
And rather than kill the cage man... Bonesaw says,
"You have opened one door, but you have a second chance. By opening the middle door, you now have access to his baser anatomy. If you can bring him to orgasm in 15 minutes, the other two doors will open and he will be free."
But if I can?
A deadly gas will fill this chamber and you will continue alone.
Hurry, suck my cock.
A quickie.
we have all failed a number of brain teasers and been faced with
and
a situation.
And had to blow a man in a cage.
Where you've been given 15 minutes and you got to make him come because you didn't solve the brain teasers. It's as classic a tale as...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
time.
I have to say, in trying to get him off within 15 minutes, they were the most inefficient ways of going about it. Because it starts off blowing him.
Mm.
And then, does he blow him as well at one point? And then he starts fucking him?
It was far too prolonged. I think if you've got 15 minutes, you just say, like, what do you like? What are you into? Yeah. Or you start... I don't know. You just give the
yeah. You say,
oh, what's it called? That thing,
prostate.
Yeah, you just give the prostate.
Sam forgot like what a prostate was.
It's been a while, guys. Okay, you give the prostate like a major tickle, a major probe. There are lots of objects around in this film. He definitely could have made it happen. Mm,
you say in this situation, you say, brother, this is life and death. Brother, how do I make? How do I make you come the quickest? You know, this didn't.
Why are you calling him brother?
This is where you, when you're under pressure.
That's how dude bros in porn talk to each
other. Yeah, when you're under pressure, you go.
No, they say dude is what I found.
Brother, I gotta make you come. This is life and death.
He fails to make the guy come, and the cage fills with gas, toxic gas, apparently. We cut to Detective Brown, and Pat the psychic tries to convince him again that something bad is going to happen, and then is kicked out. He then has a fellow detective enter the office, and they ask, what are you doing for lunch? And the other detective very kindly offers that big fat sausage.
You actually just reminded me I haven't had dinner yet.
Haven't you?
This is another example of the, like, we need to somehow bring another character in for these people to have sex with scenarios that happen.
Well, yeah, they could have fixed that, though. What if they just, like, had him have sex with the psychic? Because the psychic
me.
Bursts in.
This, yeah.
This detective is crucial for the plot, as we will see.
Yeah, that is true. And it was the one sex scene that was good in my opinion. This one cracked a boner. This one,
none of the scenes did it for me in this one. The other ones did. Anyway, we cut back to, and it's pretty an abrupt. We cut midway
it,
through.
It is very Lee's abrupt.
Third test, which is sucking off two guys. Do we even know what the premise is?
I didn't actually. No. At this stage, I was going to say I did not quite understand
why he was sucking the two guys up.
Yeah,
well, actually, guys, as someone who was paying, you know, a lot of money, I was taking in every inch of the plot. He has to just make them both come in 20 minutes, and no wait he has to service two guys in 20 minutes, and he also has to come because he says, but I just came, in like a really concerned way.
Oh.
And they got the Bonesaw is like, you'll find a way.
He succeeds, though. He manages to suck both the guys off, and they come, and then he comes.
Even though he did just come.
It's a miracle. It's a Christmas miracle.
It reminds me of the time that I... Never mind. We don't need to go.
You came. Okay.
You can't start. You see, this is where one-on-one.
Yeah, okay, it was in high school when I had a boyfriend, and my ex-boyfriend came over, and we hooked up, and I was really worried. I was like, but my boyfriend will know we hooked up because I won't be able to come. And then my ex-boyfriend was like, don't worry, you'll be able to.
In high school, I could have done that like four times a day. Now I'm like, one, give me 48 hours and I'll be back.
Yeah, no. Now I'm in my 30s. I like cried and confessed about 5 weeks later, but you know, in the moment, it felt great.
It's now on the record of the podcast that Sam is an adulterer, and I want to be known.
It's fine.
So Lee gets to flee the scene. He encounters, when he's in a car, he finds Pat. Finds him in the car. We then flash to the detectives talking, and they end up going to the warehouse, and they find all the dead people in the warehouse. And then, twist time, Detective Brown says, I should have listened to that Pat Roberts guy. And then the other detective is like, guy, Pat is a woman, short for Patricia.
Ooh.
Boom.
What a twist.
And so it turns out that who we thought was Pat Roberts was actually the ex-boyfriend of Lee, and he set all of this up so that they would get back together, because Lee wants to get back together with him.
Which, and what better way to get back with your ex than to traumatize them with witnessing several murders,
yeah,
and to make them fuck heaps of other guys, just get out of their system before, you know, before they commit to you.
This is a bit mean, but also, I didn't believe them as a couple.
Jared, come on. Whoa! I'm sure Pat had a great soul.
Yeah, that's so
he
mean.
He was psychic. He was very, introspective. I can't even speak. I'm a bit drunk. He was very insightful.
What a mean thing to say. This one, the sex didn't resonate with me enough for me to give it a full three cups of cum. And the plot line moved far too quickly and abruptly in some very non-clear ways that I would have to rate this one lower than Gay Cracula. Gray Cracula.
You've tried that four times now.
Gay Racula.
Gay Racula.
Gay Racula. And I would give this one like one cup of cum, I think.
I was going to give it two prolapse anuses. So two out of five.
Two bloody condoms out of five. I was amused, but yeah, too many quick fixes. The plot was too... The theatrical scenes were so bad that they really amused me, but everything else is kind of lacking. We only had one legitimately hot cast member, so that's also bringing it down a bit, you know?
Yeah. And I didn't enjoy the color story of this film.
The color story.
My homosexual was just like screaming at the moment.
Are you talking about Detective Brown?
I'm looking at the production values.
The production values, like the color story of a film. The mise-en-scene of this was quite drab, and I know that's sore in a way, but
it was definitely Uncle Marty who happened to own like a shoe warehouse and let you film in there for 3 hours and had to get it all out.
Yeah.
If six horses eat six bales of hay in 6 days, how many bales of hay will 12 horses eat in 12 days?
12.
Wrong. Cat is to pussy as rooster is to
cock.
Typical.
The final porn parody that we looked at was The Hole, made in 2003. The plot of The Hole is a parody of The Ring, in case that wasn't clear. You see a videotape, you get a menacing phone call in the night, and 7 days later, you're gay. It's a film by Wash West. We start off with two college guys just watching their football. We have Josh, played by Josh Hammer, who is still alive as far as I know. So that's the first.
The first film without a condolence.
Yes. As they're talking, watching football, one of the college guys talks about an urban legend. But a video that you watch, and then in 7 days you will become gay.
Mm. This is actually how I came out to a lot of my friends in high school.
Did you pretend you saw the video? Did you think the video as being real? And then you were like, I watched it.
Yeah, for anyone out there struggling on the perfect way to sort of like come out to your family or friends, the best way is to start the rumor of a urban legend of a videotape that you watch and within 7 days, because people accept it.
There's no better way to connect than a menacing phone call.
should we leave our numbers, or should I just leave my number? Like, what's going on here?
Send us your numbers and I will happily call any listeners to tell them you're gay.
Tell them that they're gay. Yes.
You do like that. I honestly, $100. I'm in lockdown right now. You DM your number to this show. Jared will pass it to me. And at some point, most likely, you know, between the hours of 3 and 4 a.m., I will ring you to tell you you are gay.
So Josh confesses that he watched the video 7 days prior. And then the phone rings, the friend answers and says, it's for you. And then it passes it to Josh, and Josh answers, and the person on the other end says,
you're gay.
To which the friend then replies, dude, are you gay?
Well, I love also when his friend's trying to console him and he's like, okay, look, do you want to watch this? And it's like Cheerleaders Gone Wild or like a Judy Garland video. And he's like trying to...
This was a great scene.
Come on, which ones do you want?
The whole... I liked all of this. Like, so, yeah, his friend tries to test him by showing him straight porno and he's trying to like wank to the straight porno and he's completely flaccid. But then his friend does a sexy dance and he becomes hard as a rock.
So this film had a lot of fun, like with itself, you know? I feel like this film is what every gay porno parody should be.
Well, I love that they like were pretty funny because his friend looks at his dick and then says, "You responded to the gay go-go stimulus."
Yeah.
Well, look, it's very self-aware.
Yeah, this actor also fully has a dick piercing, like the funny and a belly tattoo, those sun around the belly tattoo. Like, this is a gay man.
There are a lot of gay performers that are actually straight men, but I think this particular protagonist was a gay man.
Like, honey, you didn't need the Cheerleaders Gone Wild tape versus the Judy Garland thing to get your answer there, or a go-go dance.
Luckily for our protagonist Josh, though, his straight friend is like, I'm still straight, but my girlfriend is out for the night, and then we get our first fucking scene. Yeah.
This entire opening, I enjoyed very much. It was the right level of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. This is a good parody. I actually like this.
Yeah, it was also seemingly directed in a way that they were aware that none of these people could act, and therefore they didn't give them any lines that required any level of sincerity or emotion.
So after they fuck, Josh cleans himself off. There is a horrible trend throughout this film where they always clean the cum off with toilet paper, which is a bad idea, by the way, because the toilet paper kind of clumps up and sticks.
Sticks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is an important lesson. Bless you, Sam.
Thank you.
I think this is an important lesson that should be in all queer media or any sort of gay education out there is... that you should have a dedicated cum rag.
An optimal cum rag is necessary for a happy life.
Like, that is 101. Josh then delights us all with a little song about turning gay.
Oh, yeah. a little three-chord ditty.
Which I'll probably just include it in. So he gets a knock on the door, and the knock on the door is from Ben, who is a reporter investigating this video that turns people gay. That is played by Fredrik Eklund, who is from Sweden, and is now a celebrity because he became a real estate broker and is now on the reality show Million Dollar...
Bethany and Fredrik?
No. Million Dollar Listing New York.
No, but I think there's a spin-off Bethany and Fredrik. That's so weird. I've got to list up as we talk.
Million Dollar Listing New York?
I didn't realize that was him. Yeah, he used to be Bethany and...
Oh, he might have a spin-off. Oh,
this is... My mind is blown.
Really?
Here. That is so weird.
So he's like a famous reality TV star now.
I've seen him pumping loads into men. That is such a bizarre... He's had so much plastic surgery now that I never made the connection.
Yeah, Fredrik Eklund. He says that he had a brief stint in porn, but like he did it... He was like, I spent a month in porn.
Well, I mean, it was like a month well spent, clearly. Oh, my God, I can't believe this is him.
So he talks with this journalist, Ben, and Ben asks where all of this began. And he said it all began when they all were at a cabin back in the day with his friends, Eric and Tom.
Mm.
We then flashback to the cabin and have quite an odd scene, I think, of this one guy slow motion masturbating.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is...
Well, isn't that the employee?
Who is that guy?
That's like the manager or the employee at the cabin.
Okay, he just has a solo scene.
Yes, it's a little, but then he like finishes and then he walks out and he says hello, like he's like, oh hey, how can I help you?
The journalist meets him and then he shows him to the room and then the journalist sees the tape. So the video itself contains this naked guy staring at a mirror, a fish. Some dogs playing. We have the hole, the like dramatic looking hole thing. The number one,
yeah,
which has significance that I have never figured out. Anyway, after the journalist finishes watching the video, the phone rings. We then get a flashback to Eric and Tom and what happened with them, and they're driving in the car talking about all the pussy that they're going to
look, have. This is a personal favorite moment. They get a call and he assumes it's like the demon from the tape and he's like, listen here, you sick fuck, me and my friends, we're straight, we'll go down to your grandma's pussy if that's what it takes to get a sniff. And then he's like, dude, it's your mom.
It was a good comedic.
I love good failed attempts at humor that are so funny that fail so hard they end up being funny. You know,
it's also a classic vision of like a gay man's version of what straight men say to one another. Like they're just driving around and they're like, "We are the biggest pussy hounds in the West."
Yeah,
like, no one says that.
The reality is, if I spend a lot of time with straight men, and if two straight men were in a car for that amount of time, traveling that amount of distance, it would actually just be silent.
Silent. They wouldn't talk. They
would not speak to each other for a majority of that time.
Well, lucky for these men, they end up both seeing and driving into the hole.
The hole, yes. The hole appears before them and they drive into it. And then we cut to them massaging each other. And then they fuck. And... the only other note that I have is that after they fuck, one of them says, now that we're homo-identified, we can go to circuit parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Ben, the journalist, ends up going to Eric's house, and they have a discussion about that Eric and the other guy are now a couple and all these sorts of things.
And it's very insightful. There's those lines, like, I've only been gay for 5 days and I'm already in a non-monogamous relationship.
Yeah, I'm glad a lot of the gay couples are happy, even though Ben, the journalist, is increasingly getting worried that he is turning gay. A couple of scenes later, we have Ben, the journalist, jerking off in bed, and he's looking at a straight magazine. There's a guy and a girl. Am I wrong in thinking that I thought this was kind of clever? That, like, as he's jerking off, he sometimes pictures the girl massaging him and then the guy, and it keeps flipping back and forth.
Yeah, because he's fighting it. You know, he's torn between two worlds. And I love that when he sees the guy and him never actually properly kiss. But the guy's always trying and, like, he's kind of kissing him but it's not quite reciprocated. But you get that sense of temptation.
It's about the anguish. Yes. The anguish is hot.
They're kind of like, do I do this or do I embrace where I really am or do I fight it?
And I always appreciate what a non-verbal storytelling.
Yes.
You know? This was a I love trying to legitimize things.
This is an authentic discovery of sexuality. I really felt heard.
No, because he's thinking of the girl and then he's thinking of the guy, but then when he ultimately comes, he comes on the other guy's penis.
Mm.
The imaginary
guy. Inner longing. His inner longing, yeah.
But this is also my favorite thing. Well, it's not my favorite thing in the world, but something I really do enjoy is when you're just sort of like pulling the patch and someone's just kind of what the guy's doing in this scene is just kind of rubbing up against him, like, you know,
you don't think logistics when you're jerking off.
you know, they're just there kind of rubbing up and you know, I really enjoyed that.
Although I do note that he as well wipes his cum off with toilet paper.
Really? Mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe it was a noughties thing.
Maybe.
In the noughties, I had a cum towel. Maybe I was like ahead of my time. I don't know.
You started the trend. That night, he dreams. There's like black and white pictures of the guys making out in front of the mirror. And then when he wakes up, he realizes that they're at the dome, which is this structure of some sort that he's aware of. He discusses the dome with Josh. And then he also reveals that dogs keep getting sick around the dome and that a man died at a sex party in the dome previously. And so he gets Josh to come with him to New Mexico to investigate this mysterious dome which appears in the tape.
Mm.
They find the dome. Coincidentally, there's an orgy happening right there. And they watch the orgy from day until night. So they're obviously transfixed by what's going on.
So the sequence of events confused me with this because they see the two guys and then those two guys fuck. And then we get a hard cut. And I thought that was a flashback, but it was just a flash forward to the night.
Yeah, and then a sex party, the orgy begins. So I think they watch two different sexual encounters
over several hours
in their stakeout, like any good gumshoe would do. But you know, you can never teach a gay a lesson. You know, someone dies at a fucking gay orgy in a dome that makes dogs a whole bunch of sick. And you know,
that's never explained.
And the very next day, what are we doing? We're back at the dome, having sex where the dogs are getting sick. Apparently hours at a time. You know, this part of the film, I think, was a moral lesson, being like, guys, come on. It was literally in a poorly printed out newspaper article that he handed the guy.
Are you saying this was like negative? Also, we keep calling it an orgy, but in my notes, I was like, technically gangbang? ? Because there's like a single point of convergence. It's like a black hole.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, they see the hole. They see, like, don't they see the hole when they look through the window? Like, they see the actual symbol.
Or do they? How have we missed plot?
My main takeaway is that there's an orgy or whatever you want to call it, and people are chanting, fuck that ass.
Fuck that ass. Yeah. And then we finish off with a good little bukkake type thing with the dude. And Josh and Ben go to the door where they meet Malachiah Stone, I believe his name is.
A legitimate name of a legitimate person, I'm sure.
And it turns out his uncle is the one that died. They have a bit of an exchange and nothing comes of it. So that entire thing with the dome and the orgy goes nowhere. And
it's just a pat out time. Get some sex scenes in, you know.
I did like that they did have one line that was like, do you think that fish on the tape was a red herring?
Look, I think a lot of things are red herring. But, you know, at the end, one of them embrace their sexuality. One of them's like, thank you, tape. And the other one's like, thank you, hole. And so they have blissful sex. So what more could one want?
Well, before that, though, I had to note the like slightly homophobic thing. Before that, where so they end up going, so the number one somehow relates to the original cabin where all of this happened. They both go back to the original cabin, and Josh and Ben are discussing things, and Ben is like, I don't want to be gay, and then Josh is like, we're not all like those femme guys, like that's essentially his thing. I listen to punk bands and do all these sorts of things. And then Ben's like, oh yeah, gays like you make it different.
Yeah.
That's right. He's like, I mean, you can interpret it as homophobia or also that maybe gays do come in all different temperaments, shapes and sizes. But yeah, I think it was just a bit of a jab.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try. I was trying to see the positive.
In a gay porno, like, know your fucking target market.
Yeah. It's also, you know, although we are doing our very best to legitimize the material. It's not a place for nuanced commentary on things like internalized homophobia within the gay community. Whereas it was really on track when it was like, hey, we're a dumb gay porn and we're going to make some real silly. We're going to sing a song.
Yes. Well, so just after that exchange, then they start fucking.
And then they have sex.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Before they start fucking, he looks at the clock and he's like, well, guess I'm gay now. And then they fuck. And then we find out after that that the clock was broken. And he gets the phone call saying that he's gay. And he said, I already know that. And that's the ending of the film.
But the whole, I would, yeah, I would also give this one 4 cups of blood and cum.
Yeah.
Because I think it was a good time. And the sex was decent. It is closer to, I think it's in that in-between porn phase where it's not quite brutal fucking murder porn, but it's also not like kissing in a daisy field. You know, it's
the actual sex, I feel like, was fairly like
vanilla. Yeah, yes, but it actually made me laugh a couple times, and that's a shock because I'm usually, you know, so heavily sedated that that rarely happens. So
as he laughs.
As I've been laughing this whole show.
I agree with you on the whole. I was going to give it 4 prolapsed anuses out of 5. Sam?
4 tongue punches out of 5.
Excellent.
We agree.
See? Unanimous. So,
I think, are we all in consensus with how we'd rank them? I was going to rank Gay Racula, The Hole, Bonesaw.
Look, I think Gay Racula and The Hole are kind of like neck and neck. But I think Gay Racula is kind of like half a cock in front.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
I would say Gay Barack. Gay Baraka.
Gay, story of a president to be.
Gay Baraka. Barack?
Sure there's a Barack Obama.
There would be.
I would say Baraka Gay Bracula is, yeah, probably about a millimeter closer to my prostate than the hole. but the hole is right there, and Bonesaw, unfortunately, is coming up.
In the rear.
Coming up the rear, just to really.
Thank you, Luke, for coming on the podcast.
Oh, I wanted to, legitimately say thanks for having me on, because this is always a fun time, and this kind of chat is right up my prostate.
We're tweaking it.
It's been a real pleasure. And it gave me a legitimate reason to watch 3 hours of pornography.
Do you have anything you want to promo?
Oh, actually, I would like to promo a couple of things that are coming up that are in the pipeline for me. So my debut fragrance is coming out soon. It's called Kick 'Em While You're Down and Clowning About Town.
Love it.
It sort of smells like wet cigarettes that you find after a week. So that is coming up as well. I don't have anything in particular to plug, but The Gays Are Revolting is, we're releasing our after shows, which was like our paid content, in the coming weeks. So you can still check that out, and it'll stay up, and I'm really proud of the work that we did together on that show. And I think if I'm involved with something, I'm pretty obnoxious about it online that, you know, you'd hear.
Well, do you have like an Instagram
page? Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Luke's Like an Ant, which is a parody of, speaking of parodies, it's a parody version of I'm Like a Bird, the Nelly Furtado song, which I rewrote and sent to her, and she never replied to me. So she goes on.
Let's all at Nelly Furtado as part of our camp call to action.
So sodomites, Yeah. Get onto Nelly Furtado for me, or follow me on Twitter. Obnoxious abbreviation, which is abbreviated obnoxiously, but just look for my name.
What time is it? Yes?
You're gay.
I already know that.
Thank you for listening to the Sinister Sissies podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Sinister Sissies. You can also follow us on Instagram at Sinister_Sissies. You can follow me on Twitter at Jared Bartle. That's Jared with a Y. Please also consider joining our Patreon. I figured out how Patreon works now, and I now do early release episodes on Patreon. Ooh. So you get things early.
And I've got a great idea for our Patreon that I haven't even told Jared about. So, you know,
maybe we could do the Your Gay phone calls through your Patreon.
Anyone? Oh, very good idea. It's taxing.
Well, look, keep your ears peered for October. That's all I'll say.
Yes. So we are developing our Patreon more. We're giving it a go. We're still trying to figure it out. Please give us any suggestions of how you think a Patreon should work, because we're just figuring it out as we go along. And until next time, stay sinister.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.